Do you want more time? Do you want more money? Do you want more success? Do you want to really start turning your business into a legacy that you could look back on one day and say, wow, that was pretty cool? Well, tune in for the next 10 minutes to Irene Gutman and Tom Oss's podcast, Work Smarter, Not Harder. Here's our hosts now.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, and I'm joined today by Phil Rutigliano. I've actually been with him over the past 2.5 years with the Rockland Business Exchange. We've had several members on the show. Phil, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Tom. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was doing a little research on you, and I hear everything that you talk about every week during the RBE meetings. But just to give our audience a little bit of an idea of where you come from. So you are you're a longtime Rockland resident, and I don't blame you for moving out because I don't know, the taxes around here are wonky. So nice, smart move to move over the border there. But you're also the head of Target Franchises. And from what I understand, I mean, you know, just doing some research, you've been a very heavily invested in the fundraising and the finance sectors for decades now.
Yes, that's correct.
Send me some information about some of the things you do. So tell us a little bit more about your background.
So, I mean, I grew up in New York and just recently moved into Bergen County. Taxes are still high.
Uh-huh.
And but I was raised and educated in New York. I went to Fordham, Pace, and for my undergrad and my MBA, and worked in finance and started to do some nonprofit consulting, and then got into for-profit consulting, which is where I am today.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like an enjoyable area. I mean, you know, it's definitely good to do stuff on the not-for-profit side, but I mean, when you flip it over and you can still do good works, but at least it gives you that, not just that sense of warmth in the heart, but sense of warmth in the wallet.
You know, there are a lot of generous people making a difference on the nonprofit side. And it's just, it's easy for me to flip a switch and go to from the nonprofit side where you're helping nonprofits reach their goals to now helping individuals reach their goals by being in business for themselves.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, you brought this up many times at the RBE meeting about franchising and the sheer scope of the number of franchises that we have in this country. And it's not just your standard McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King. I mean, you're talking about very specific fields that, I mean, people can invest in and do quite well with.
Yeah.
Under the radar.
Yeah, there's probably close to 3,500 different types of franchises throughout the states. And yeah, you mentioned the traditional ones, the brick and mortar ones that people think of and drive by when they're on the road. But there's so many more. There's probably about 40 to 50 different categories. There are franchises that you can run from your home, you know, and work as a consultant, whether that's in fundraising or running an agency, or, you know, some of the smaller ones, you can have a van and a small garage and presto, you're in business for yourself and you're under a bigger name. I mean, and that's the difference with a franchise, Tom. It's, you know, you have a handbook, a guidebook, you have somebody that's gone before you and made mistakes, and now you're able to, you know, flip a switch, become educated about the process, and now you're in business for yourself.
I think I'm most interested in the process for creating a franchise, which I know there are many legalities, certainly sheer focus on being able to produce something over and over, mass produce it, if you will. Have you been in touch with any startup business owners that ultimately turns their model into a franchise?
It's funny you should ask. Today, after our phone call, after our podcast today, I'm having a conversation with a franchise attorney and a business owner that's had inquiries about his business and said, hey, you ought to franchise. Now, I don't know if it'll become a franchise or something a little bit different, which is licensing or a business opportunity. But, you know, because I'm well connected in the franchise arena, we're going to sit down with a franchise attorney, put the business under a microscope and try to figure out what's the best direction for this business owner to go in to create something new for him and for others that are interested.
So there's many different possibilities where someone can go once they get to a point where they've refined their product and they've refined their model. It could be licensing, it could be franchising, it could be an exit strategy. How long would you say that it takes for the typical, and I'm not holding you to any numbers, of course, because they're different for any particular industry, but how long does it typically take for a typical business owner to get from startup idea to the point where he or she could even consider franchising?
You know, it all depends upon the individual, how prepared they are. A manual needs to be written. You know, if somebody's going to buy a business from you, whether it's a franchise or even a non-franchise business, you have to have, you know, guidelines that they go by. If I had to put a time, I'd say it would probably take about 6 months. You know, and if you think about the past 2 years, you know, every time you turn around, there's a help wanted sign. You know, we talk about the great resignation. There are a lot of people that are in corporate America that are leaving to you know, run a business of their own, whether it's a franchise business or something not on such a grand scale. So people are looking, whether to create something or be involved in something, you know, that they can call their own.
Yeah, and this is my, pending go around the third time going into likely a recession next year. I mean, based on some economic indicators, you know, we had the, I started in 2007, so we had the 08 crash and then the 2014 mini. The way I look at it is it's a journey for any business owner, but I tend to notice, to your point, that people start to jump ship as they hit a recession. Many people consider business ownership. They consider maybe making the jump to entrepreneur. Have you found any individuals where you just turn around and say, you know what, it's not a good idea. Don't go to the franchising Don't go toward franchise and go toward a different route.
You know, it's so funny. I had somebody who was looking at a bagel franchise. There's a firm out on Long Island called Bagel Boss. They've got under 20 locations. And we were talking to this candidate and he said, oh, you know, I don't like getting up early in the morning. Well, needless to say, our conversation didn't last very long because when you want a bagel, it's early in the morning and somebody's got to be there to turn the lights on and put the ovens on and get things going. So it can be difficult when we're so used to many people to having a paycheck and days off and vacation and paid medical to now go into owning your own business where you've got to take care of things like that, you know, your medical, your IRA or 401k. It's a big switch mentally. There are a lot of people that are prepared for it, and there are those that are not and don't want to take the chances.
Right. Yeah. And having something that aligns with consumer needs is very important. We have a coffee shop around here, and you know, no names, but the truth of the matter is that coffee shop should be open at 6 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes it's not open until 8 or 8:30. And I understand. I mean, you know, there's the pressures of life, but I mean, if the consumer wants it at a certain time, the consumer wants it at a certain time.
You know, absolutely. And that's, you know, some of the benefits of owning a franchise. Somebody's gone before, made the mistakes and has perfected or put together a system that somebody can follow. I mean, you as a consumer with your local coffee shop, boy, 8:30, I'm already at my desk. If I can't get my coffee at 7 o'clock, I'm going someplace else.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some names, franchises just randomly that you've come across over the years, not necessarily brand names?
So I have to say, there's a question that I get, if not every day, four times a week. And that's, what's the best franchise to own? And I tell everybody the same thing every day, Tom. It's the franchise that you're excited about and gets you out of bed in the morning. I don't have favorites. I really don't, because it's not driven by myself or my company. It's driven by the individual, their background, whether that be educational, their upbringing, the neighborhood they grew up in, what they like to do, what they don't like to do. That gentleman that didn't like to get up early, or that coffee shop owner, maybe it's not the right business for them. So it's really client driven. I have no favorites, and I deal with hundreds and hundreds of all different types of franchises from A to Z. And truthfully, it doesn't matter to me. It's not important to me. It's important to the individual. And I almost feel like I'm a matchmaker. I can't help anybody in their personal life, but I'm a matchmaker because there's the franchisor, which is corporate, and then there's the franchisee, which is the individual, and they have to get along and like each other.
Yeah.
If not, it's not going to work.
And the system that was created for them, they have to comprehend it and understand it and execute it, I imagine.
Yeah. They have to follow a system. Some of the younger, the emerging franchises that don't have a lot of units, businesses, locations, sometimes mm-hmm. there's flexibility. And somebody coming into an emerging franchise, that maybe has under 100 units, they can have some input. And the franchisors are typically, if they're good business people, they're open-minded, they'll listen and, maybe create something that's even better. So that's happened before.
Yeah, brings it back to the originator of the franchise, and then they can improve their system for the future.
For sure. Absolutely.
Love it. How did you get into this industry? Originally a finance background, did it just came about, or you met someone that was integral in your life?
So I had a friend who is down south, and he is a development officer for a group of franchises, like five or six. And I was having a conversation with him, and he knew that I came from, finance and the nonprofit world. And he said, you have such a consultative type of attitude that, I should consider looking into franchises. He said, but don't do what I do, because he only has five or six companies. He said, represent hundreds of different franchises. So I actually went through with an association. I got trained. I spent time. We have software that we use to analyze and connect us with the different franchisors. So it was a process, and it's ongoing, and I love it.
It sounds like it. Every time that we're over at the meetings and you start it off, you say, thank God it's franchising.
Yeah, it's TGIF.
Love it. Well, Phil, thank you for being on the show today. I always look forward to seeing you at the meetings. And so how can we get in touch with you if somebody wanted to learn more?
It's real simple. I still have my Rockland County phone number. Haven't changed it, which is 845-323-7425. Or it's just phil@targetfranchises.com.
Awesome. Phil, thank you for being on the show today. Have
Tom,
a great
thanks
week.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm not sure if we'll see each other before we wind down for the holidays, but Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, man.
Same to you. Again, appreciate your time. Happy to be here. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye now.
Hey, if you need some great graphics for your business, check out canva.com. They have thousands and thousands of templates that will help you to build things like business cards, posters, flyers, Facebook and Instagram stories, even videos, and shock to me, websites as well. It's a little scary because we're in the web design business, but you got to check it out. Go to canva.com. Professional version is just $12.99 a month. You're welcome. I recently had the opportunity to interview Oksana Hauser. She is the 2022 recipient of the North Rockland Chamber of Commerce Community Organizer of the Year Award. And we give these awards out every year to various individuals that care about this community. But Oksana took it a step further. And just by her and the volunteers that she worked with, by their efforts alone, they were able to donate over $100,000 directly to people that are affected by the war in Ukraine. And in addition to that, we're able to airlift 75,000 pallets of medical supplies over to their country. It is without further ado that I give you my interview with Oksana Hauser. Blah, 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 blah.